and gentlemen, welcome to the Sunday Rise, where you got to rise up with the Sideline Junkies Network. Yes, sir. And it is me. It's me. It's the Midnight Rider. It's the big guy, KG, and the boss man, BJ. Now, when we get to collection time,
I know. No, Midnight Rider. Season,
but
no, Midnight Rider, we already changed it up. We got to. Before we even start, we want to see the generosity of the people, and we have to pass that collection of play around now. You have to give us the, and we want to see what your energy is. Pass that collection plate around. So let's get this thing started right now.
All right, KG, how do you follow that?
I don't even know how to follow that. I'm How dear friends and neighbors. See, I look, remind me after we finish off air, I tell you the joke where that came from.
Oh, that's an off air joke?
Yeah, that's an off air joke because that'll get you canceled. My wife does not let me tell that joke in public. I have to tell that joke in private.
Ooh. Oh.
So how you gentlemen feeling this morning?
Decent, man. I'm feeling good. I'm you know, it's weird waking up without no football. I know it's been a minute, but like I'm just ready for the draft. I'm ready for things to start trickulating and matriculating. So and the NBA just doesn't do it for me anymore. It's just it's like I sit down and watch the NBA and my own hand pulls me up and pushes me to go do something else. It's like, don't waste your time. That's where I am with the NBA. We got racing, though.
I think I tried to watch a little bit of Carolina NC State last night. And then I don't know what else happened. I know I ended up on the WrestleManiacs last night. And then the post show and the stories there, boy. Whew. Glad that didn't air because we might have gotten some trouble. We might have some officers looking for us. You know what I'm saying?
We all had a pass.
I don't know what the statute of limitations is, but yeah.
That was 20 years ago. We all had a pass once.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Speaking of basketball, congratulations to the King, LeBron James. 40,000 career points. First player to ever hit 40,000 in the NBA. Cheers to you. Hey, hopefully you can hit another 10,000. So,
all right, man. I got a thing, man. I'm sorry. I understand the King is playing 20 years. I understand this, but we're in an era where they've made it so convenient to be a basketball player. We've taken the back to backs out of it to a certain extent. They've limited you back to backs. It's not physical. There's no physical basketball played right now. Basketball in this world is no longer a contact sport. Like he's living the dream. He's been put in the best possible position for him to have this longevity. And I'm not discounting his diet, the way he invests in his body, any of that. But this era annoys me when they talk about the way they do things and how much better they are. You ain't got to do nothing. You play two times a week. Then if you want, you can say, oh, my ankle hurt and I'm not going out there tonight. I'm sorry. Old man rant. I apologize. You can title that. Get off my lawn. But, yeah.
Congrats. I agree with you. I mean, just to piggyback a little bit, I think that, you know, we saw Kareem's record stand for so long. But if the NBA continues in this current trend, that LeBron record will be down probably within the next 10 years. You know, 10, 15 years, you'll probably see that record go down because, and I know they said something about addressing, trying to make, offensive balances with defense. We'll see if that happens. I think they realize, Adam Silver's not stupid. I think they realize before the All-Star game, they had a bad product. And they're trying to – I think that's where the 65-game minimum MVP award and stuff came to. But I think the All-Star game was the icing on the cake because that's your showcase of your stars, and it was just a horrible, horrible experience all around the board. Like, usually you could get the three-point shootout or the slam dunk contest to save the weekend. And, you know, the game could be mid, but if you had a good slam dunk contest or a great one, it was fine. But for everything across the board to be bad, I think that was the red flag, the text message on all the execs' phone to be like, hey, meet here. Don't say anything about this meeting, secret meeting, 7 a.m. Monday morning. You know, heads are going to roll type thing. So the NBA got some work to do.
My bad.
It's all good. Well, switching gears. We talked about the draft. Let's start. Kansas City Chiefs, you are now on the clock.
Sorry, I had to put my GM hat on.
Hey, look, this is what we're doing. KG, tell them what we're doing. Tell them what we're doing.
No, you take this. You take this one. Because it's your baby.
So what we're doing is, draft is April 24th. So for the next, we haven't decided exactly how we're going to do it, but we're going to do four teams. We're going to go over their draft needs and whatnot. And we're going backwards. We're going 32 up. So uniquely, and you know, something the Midnight Rider says, you're not doing it the other way around. So it's not what's left. It's kind of, you're guessing what's going to be left based on coming from the bottom up. So here we go. We give y'all some football, and when there ain't no football, you know, we got scouting combine done. So let's get into some draft news. Oh, KG went away. So up first, number 32 are the world champion Kansas City Chiefs. All right. For some stats real quick, they were eighth in total offense and second in defense. And they're sitting with $28 million on the cap. Needs from, let's see, where did I get this from? This was CBS Sports Needs from mock draft board. Defensive tackle, wide receiver, cornerback, running back, and offensive tackle. So, gentlemen, without further ado, let's dive into the Kansas City Chiefs. The Midnight Rider put his GM hat on. I got to put something on. I got to follow him up some type of way. I have to put something on my head to look professional. You can't be the only one with a hat on. So if we're putting our GM hats on and we're the GM, you're sitting at 32. And the draft, at this point, your 31 picks have gone. You have to address needs. Legarius Sneed, they've given permission to seek a trade. You got to figure out what you're doing with Chris Jones. Let's start with Midnight Rider. You turned the hat around. Let's start with you. GM Kansas City Chiefs, war room, clock's ticking. You've already done your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going? Well, how do you improve this team?
Todd, let me tell you. Seriously, it's with the Chiefs, you got a couple needs. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just kind of throw some names to fit each one of the needs. And I know you guys are going to talk about the needs in general. I'm going to try to give you some specifics. For me, in this scenario, seeing that the first need for the Chiefs is wide receiver, I think Andy Reid gets his version of a guy like a Puka Nacua, and they draft the kid, Ladd McConkey, out of Georgia. I think he's the perfect wide receiver for Andy Reid's system. He's unassuming. He's not going to be – I thought Kadarius Toney could unlock this offense at one point because of his special needs set, but he just can't catch the football. And you get that out of Ladd McConkey. So I think that would be a way for the Chiefs to make themselves better. There's a mock that I'm looking at now off of Pro Football Network. They actually have the Chiefs taking Keon Coleman, who's like 4 wide receiver out of Florida State, who's also a game changer to an extent. But I don't think KC wants that type of receiver. I think they want another guy that can do a little bit of everything. And with Kelce being on his last legs, I think this would be the perfect replacement because I think McConkey's smart enough to give you to ad-lib with Pat Mahomes. when Kelce decides to take it down and retire, this kid can step into that role and be the person that meets all the ends for this offense. Now, again, you said something earlier about D tackle because they're going to have to see the sign Chris Jones or they may lose him. So with D tackle in question, I have a bias. I love the kid out of Texas, Sweat, Devontae Sweat or Tavon Sweat. He's about 366 right now as he checked into the combine. So that's another option. He's a run stopper. He's a big dog. And you put him in with the rest of that mix that they have, he could be an option there as well. From an edge and an O-tackle option, it's I'm too nervous on those because I think the runs are going to happen. So I don't know what DN or what tackle is going to be there at that pick to make a good pick for us as a group. So I'm just leaving it to the first two on this one. Actually, no, I do have an edge. The edge I would think about would be the kid from Penn State, Chop Robinson, because I don't know if he's going to make it this far, but if he does, he'd be a good pick because he'd give them an explosive pass rusher. And yeah, it would be a good call for KC because KC hasn't really had that great edge person. They've always had good guys that they signed, like Justin Houston, yep, that are older guys. They're solid. They've never had like a really young dominant edge rusher. They're probably last dominant edge rusher, to be honest with you. May have been Derek Thomas, sadly.
Now, here it's interesting to hear what you say. I think they proved to themselves, and I really thought when they lost Tyreek Hill, they would lose that dynamic and the offense would sputter, and they recreated themselves. But we talk about all the time, the way to build a great team is to have a GM and coach on the same page, not just drafting players, pulling players out of the air, but you have to draft players that fit your specific needs, that fit how your offense rolls. And you got a Hall of Fame quarterback sitting back there. So he's proven that with a D-plus receiving core that he can win a championship, right? So if you at 32 and a talent at wide receiver drops, you know you don't need over-the-top guy like Tyreek Hill. You know you don't need – you don't get me wrong. Everybody wants Justin Jefferson. Everybody wants a game changer. But if you can get a guy that's Mr. Everything, that Swiss utility knife, that can go underneath, that can run routes on a crisp, you know, and fit in Andy Reid's offense, I think that'll make this team even more dangerous. With them giving L'Jarius Sneed permission to seek a trade, we have to see how that goes. But here's where – with this team, I'm not worried about them losing certain pieces. It might affect the play here and there, but when you lose pieces, but you have Steve Spagnuolo as your defensive coordinator, and you have Andy Reid as your offensive guy, you know, Matt Nagy is technically the offensive coordinator, but we know Andy Reid dials up the plays. These guys understand something that we say on this show all the time. You have to play to your strengths and what you have. And they're going to develop a new game plan for the new set of guys. That they do it every time. Every time. Whatever's on the field, if they lose Chris Jones, and if they lose Chris Jones and L'Darius Sneed, you'll see a revamped offense, a different way of attacking things. It'll still have Steve Spagnuolo's stamp on it, but you'll see it adjust. And I think a lot of teams miss that when it comes to what they're putting on the field. If I am the GM, I'm going to go get a receiver. I'm going to go get a receiver. They have $28 million. It's some good free agent receivers. You know, of course, right now, if you sign to Kansas City, you have a chance to get a ring. So you know you got to be kind of mindful of that. They're going to have people that want to come there. You know, the name that comes up free agent wise is Mike Evans. Yeah, Mike Evans, You got, I think, isn't Pittman Indianapolis a free agent? Pittman's a free agent. There's a couple of them that are sitting there where you know what you're getting instantly. And do you go address, you know, instead of drafting a receiver, you go get help on defense. You go get help on the edge. You go get help. You'll get another cornerback. But then being second in defense, it's just like you lose these pieces. It's like, is it the scheme or is it the players?
It's the scheme.
And that's what I'm thinking too. It's the scheme. So you go plug and play, you go find another player. And this is a part of being a GM. You got to know when to, they're sitting 28 million plus on the cap. You got to know when to spend your money and when to draft and replace. But like, what do I always say? If you're a good GM, you've already planned this 2 years back. You already know LeJarius Sneed's coming up on wanting money. Chris Jones is coming up on free agency. Maybe the wide receiver didn't go as clean as you wanted it to. But I think I would go free agent wide receiver and address a need on the defense. That's where I'm going. Big guy.
Two things before I go. The big dog over on Instagram said, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, big dog. He said, Ben Wobb, the draft information. Matt came in and he said, Chiefs will go wide receiver for sure. I looked at something. I don't think they'll go wide receiver at 32. Okay. I think they'll go either tackle or edge at 32 because you still have, what's his name, Rashee Rice. You still have another year at MBS.
No, they just cut MBS.
When did they wait. I'm looking at your
site. Yeah, they just cut him.
It's just calm down.
Like a day or two ago.
It's like a day or two ago. It's something that came out in the weeds. So you're fine, KG.
That messes everything up I was gonna say. Cause I was gonna say, hey, you can wait until one of the, you know, free agency, one of the later rounds, bring you in a third wide receiver because he was only going to make $2 million this year. He was in the last year of a $30 million contract, so he was only going to make $2 million this year. But you're
not wrong in that because even without MVS, this class of wide receivers, and this is part of the thing for me where I don't think wide receiver – like you can get a wide receiver. The best wide receiver last year was Puka Nacua, and the Rams got him in the fifth round. But he was just such a dynamic fit for them where you don't have to worry about that. You can wait till later. I just think for me, being the Andy Reid guy that I know, I think Ladd McConkey is a type of guy. In the words of Chris Collinsworth, here's a guy that's going to fit with them so well that he can do all the little things in terms of route running and route conception, where he can help Mahomes when Mahomes gets in trouble and it all doesn't fall on the shoulders of Travis Kelce. So that's why I feel like he's the perfect fit for them. And this is just strictly – I haven't talked to Andy. He won't return my phone calls. I haven't talked to Matt Nagy. It's just really a gut feeling for me. So that's why I say that. And they need to cut him too, because they're getting no return on it. And I said when he got there, I thought – he was the person that could unlock this offense and give them a Tyreek Hill-like presence, talking about Kadarius Toney. The problem is he can't catch the football. So
that's true.
Listen, I said it on one of the shows. He could, if he was humble enough, that man could have had a Hall of Fame career. If he was willing to put in work and be humble enough to sit with Pat Mahomes and work on his skills and just be quiet, he would have had the numbers. You got Pat Mahomes back there. They throw the ball. What do they throw the ball on average? 20, upper 20s, 26, 27 a game probably?
Yeah.
You would have had the numbers. You would have talked about Kadarius Toney in some years having Hall of Fame numbers. But he couldn't be quiet long enough. And it says a lot when a team says, hey, we don't want you to play in the Super Bowl. Healthy scratch. Don't come. Stay home. And still win it.
What? Oh,
okay.
Oh,
I mean, he said he's blind and he can't catch.
Oh my goodness.
So
in the words of Duval Paul, he couldn't catch an STD in a dirty whorehouse.
Now I'm getting in trouble for what you done said. I'm getting a look because of what you said.
Ooh.
Insane. Hey. Duval Paul said it.
Yeah, Duval, that's tell her that's on Duval Paul.
Yeah, that's a Duval Paulism.
That's the Duval Paul. What I do? Okay, moving on. My bad. San Francisco 49ers, you are now on the clock.
That's we need draft music. Like we need to get like a
countdown.
We need a drop, like a whatever it is. If we can get it, if we can get the ESPN or the NFL Network draft drop. We should do that before our picks, man.
I'll work on that. I'm gonna work on that. I'll take it first. We'll go me, big guy, and then we'll let Midnight Rider give us some names for the needs. So of course, you know, Kyle Shanahan's the head coach. They just hired former Chargers head coach Brandon Staley. I think he's gonna be assistant head coach / offensive coordinator, I guess. I'm not really sure there.
This is beautiful. So what they did was, of course, Brandon Staley's off of the tree of Kyle. So mm-hmm. they're gonna bring him as like associate head coach to help with the defense. But what they're gonna do is promote Nick Sorensen. So if you're from this area, you know he was a QB in this area. He played QB at Virginia Tech his early years, transferred over to play defensive back. I think he played safety his last 2 years at Tech. Got drafted and spent about 5 to 7 years in the league playing football. I've always thought this was going to be Nick's path. I always thought he was a smart enough guy that he could get to this point. So I think what they're going to do is Sorensen has the title and Staley will kind of be the mentor to help him get up to speed with his play calling and things of that nature.
And this is the defensive side, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So who's going to be their offensive coordinator?
Well, Kyle's always the offensive coordinator. And then they just have the younger guys help develop the game plan. Again, it's a similar situation. Like the way Kyle does it, or the way they do it, is they start breeding coaches. Like if you look at the Washington coach staff.
I'm sorry, you said breeding.
I'm sorry.
I hate y'all sometimes.
But no, they do. What they do is they have these incubators where these coaches. So, like, if you think of Washington staff, you got Brian Johnson, Cliff Kingsbury, and Anthony. What's your boy? KG. What's your boy? Anthony Lynn. So you got those three coaches in one room, and they're all providing information into the offense. And what you're doing is you create a model where everybody's sharing information and you're learning from everybody. Mm-hmm. And then you create an identity off of that. And then what happens is one of those three are going to get promoted or either a job somewhere else. So they go off somewhere else, become an OC, or they become a head coach. And then they bring one of the other guys with them to be their OC. And then you continue that. So think about it where Atlanta hires Raheem Morris, and then Raheem takes the QB coach from the Rams, Zach Robinson, and brings him along with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've created a place where Zach is comfortable with delivering an offense, presenting in front of people. And that's what I mean by breeding coaches. Like they create the opportunity for these guys to learn, and then they develop it beyond that, steps beyond. So you're going to start seeing this tree with Kyle that, if it hasn't already happened, at least a third of the league has some kind of Kyle Shanahan influence on their coordinators.
Let me ask you a question. We're seeing Chop Robinson's name come up a lot for those last 5-6 teams. I thought he had a good enough pro day to get out of that last 4-5 teams. Do you think he's going to be there because he's on a couple mock drafts for the 49ers, and it goes into a problem that they're going to have. But I want to hear your take on it.
So I think I just mentioned Chop with the Chiefs. I think he would be one of those guys that I think because of his height, weight situation, I think he's going to fall to the back end. And personally, I would love for him to fall out of the first round and be there at 36 with the Commanders, because I think Chop would be a guy that Dan Quinn can use in multiple facets and almost be his version of Micah Parsons. But to get out of my selfish mode, I think San Fran, the only reason he doesn't fit San Fran is from a height, weight makeup. I think San Fran likes their ends a little bit taller. So that's the only reason I wouldn't put Chop to them.
Got you. Okay. And I'm going to dive into the 49ers, and I'm going to give it to the big guy. They have to figure out what they're going to do with Chase Young. They have to figure out if – because he hasn't played to get, you a huge contract or anything. So it depends on what he's looking for as far as money. I don't think – when he got traded, he didn't miss a game, did he?
He didn't. But I don't think he's – I don't even think he's in their conversation. I think he was a rental to get them through the end of the season.
Yeah, and if you get it back at the right price, you can always kick the tires a little bit, walk around the car, if it's the right price. But here's the thing about price. The 49ers are currently $2 million in the hole when we talk about salary cap. So they got some work to do. As far as needs, and this is via CBS Sports, cornerback, offensive tackle, interior offensive line, defensive tackle, and, of course, edge. Another name that comes up is Amarius Mims, offensive tackle, is somebody they could possibly take. They were number one in total offense and eighth in defense. So from a standpoint of production, besides the Super Bowl, they're making it happen on both ends. So you got your hat on. You're at 31. KG, you're the 49ers GM. You, Kyle Shanahan sit beside you. You're trying to figure out which way do you go. First of all, what do you do personally? What do you do with Chase Young? And what are you addressing as far as a need for the 49ers?
First and foremost, with Chase Young, great talent, but what he gave after that trade wasn't good enough. And that's not a knock on him. Everybody said it. I wasn't the only one that noticed it. Ross noticed it. Matt, Scott, Jeff Nail, everybody noticed that he was giving up on plays, because we had a discussion about it. It's just kind of crazy. Like, if the play wasn't coming to his side and he could chase from the backside, Chase wouldn't chase. So he has to go. He has to walk in free agency. Bye. Sign wherever you may. But if I'm sitting there and I'm trying to think of what to get as a pick at 31, you got free agency looming, and you got guys like Javon Kinlaw, who's a free agent. Rumor on the street is that Brandon Ayuk wants out, so you're gonna have some openings there. But one of your strengths, and has been for years, was your defense. I say you get you a dominant edge rusher, the most dominant one that you can get on the board, and kind of be plug and play and go from there. And back to what you guys were saying about how Shanahan breeds coaches.
That's the Midnight Riders talk about breeding.
Yeah, that's his thing. He loves breeding. but the reason why
I only got one kid. Y'all got more than me. So
the reason why it's like that is because I'm gonna take it there. Shanahan's are on Sid Gilman's coaching tree, which goes way back. that's what it's what it was all about. You got one coach that produced almost all the coaches that you have had in the last 30 years, 40 years actually. So that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to build your assistants up so they can get jobs. So, but to answer your question, I'm going D-line. Matt checked in. He said, I would say O-line or maybe edge best available. I say edge best available.
Ooh, that has me two questions for you guys before we give it to the Midnight Rider to kind of dive into the needs of the positions. Two questions. If you're Chase Young camp and the 49ers let him go, will he be a forgotten man? And why I say that is, I believe that if I'm the agent for the 40, for Chase Young, I beg the 49ers for a deal, anything, because he needs that type of environment. If he goes to Cleveland, if he goes to somewhere where they don't have structure, you'll never hear from Chase Young again. So that's the first question. Do you feel like if he doesn't get another shot on the 49ers, will he disappear? The second question is, if you're one of those last four or five teams, you have needs, but your need isn't there and it's kind of on the best available, do you trade the pick?
I don't want to respond because I'll do it this way. So the first part about Chase Young, I think Chase is going to just – he's put himself in a position where because coaches have egos – some coach is going to always feel like he can unlock the next chamber, the next level for Chase. So Chase will always get a job because his ability, his perform, his body, his level of talent. He's always going to check. It's the same reason people years and years down the road don't understand why we keep talking about Josh Gordon. It's one of those talents that you can, no matter what the situation is, you'll always give talent a chance. Alden Smith, another name, will always give talent a chance. And Chase will have a chance. So I'm not worried about his career. I don't think the 49ers want to take that because I think from a financial standpoint, in his mind right now, he's going to want more than what he's going to get. And that's going to humble him enough that I'd almost love to see who gets the opportunity to sign him and what he produces for him, because I think that would provide the why. Like, sometimes a guy needs a why. And if anybody needs a why, maybe it's him, and he gets his why from the lack of interest early on in free agency. And then the other part of your question before is the option to trade out. I think the last five picks is the perfect place to trade out, because that's where you're going to always hear me say this. Teams may come back in for a quarterback. I'm going to say this whole process. Where if a guy like a Penix, even a J.J. McCarthy, because I don't see J.J. as a top 12, even though everybody else does. But Penix, Nix, McCarthy, those bottom three quarterbacks, they're not bottom three, but the next three guys in that mix, if one of them falls into this last five scenario, it's a great scenario where they become like a Lamar Jackson, where a team trades back in to the late first round, get that pick, give you an early second, and maybe a first next year to take that spot. So I do see this as I call it the honeycomb hideout. It's a spot where you can steal a future first and get extra picks and not have to worry about drafting a player right now and save you some cap space.
Now, over on Instagram, the big dog said cut him. He going to the Cardinals, Chargers, Lions, or New England, or the Bengals. Matt says Chase Young to the Raiders with AP and Max Crosby pushing him. That could be very interesting.
That's actually a great place for him to go.
And I don't agree with what BJ said about Cleveland not having structure, because you got a Myles Garrett there. And I think with Myles Garrett, he needs to have somebody dominant on the other side. That way it takes the pressure off him. And then going back to the state of Ohio with Cleveland or Cincinnati, I think he kind of reinvents himself.
I disagree. I think for Chase Young, it has to be organizational. There has to be a standard set as you walk in the door. Then not because you're on a specific unit. And Matt made a great point. If you got a coach like AP in your ear, in your tail the whole time, pushing you, and it's not on no vindictive anything. It's genuine love. Like, I want to see the best. We are going to put the best on the field. What is the famous clip of Nick Saban? Run it again. You got that type of coach pushing you. I just feel like if he doesn't walk in, he doesn't see 3, 4, 5 Super Bowl trophies. If it's not gold platinum standard from the word jump, he's gonna fall into the cracks. If it's not other guys on the field vying for an NFC championship and he feels that pressure, he's gonna fall into the cracks. If he goes somewhere, if he goes to, you know, somewhere that's rebuilding, you know, somewhere that doesn't have, because I think he needs it all. He needs coaching. He needs the guys on his unit to be strong, to keep relevance. I think if he goes to the wrong place, I don't think you'll ever hear from Chase Young again.
That's heavy. That is heavy.
So we talked about the needs for the 49ers, offensive tackle, interior offensive line, edge, and wide receiver. I think interior offensive line with this class, I think that's the spot I can wait. You're going to see a run of guards and centers in the second round of this draft because this class is that special in terms of offensive linemen. Tackle-wise, if I had to put a guess on it, I like the kid Guyton from Oklahoma. He's a person I'd be there. You said Mims. Is Mims the kid from Georgia? Look at your thing. I think he might be the kid from Georgia. I like him too. Because some of these names and some of these schools start running together. So I apologize if I don't remember his school. Another guy I look at for the 49ers.
Yes, Georgia.
Georgia, okay. When you said something earlier about Kyle, and it made me think Xavier Worthy, the kid from Texas that just ran the 4.22. Somebody said something about Ayuk not being happy. So I'll tell you why I thought Worthy. I thought Worthy because in the 49ers offense, they run certain stuff for Ray McCloud, the kid from Clemson, who's probably on year 8 or 9 in the league, never really been a regular receiver. I also think back to the 2012 Shanahan's and Aldrick Robinson. And this kid runs a 4.22. So you start thinking of all the stuff we did with Aldrick on that backside post, on those go routes. So I think Xavier Worthy is a guy that, because of that 4.22, he wasn't in the early talks of being a first-round wide receiver. Maybe he pushes himself up. Another guy I like is Troy Franklin from Oregon at wide receiver. I actually told one of my buddies who's a Cowboys fan, there's no need for the Cowboys to sign Gallup. Go ahead and get this kid and let him be your future. And what's the other need they got? Edge. In terms of edge, there's a guy out of Missouri. If you're in the Sideline Junkies podcast group, then you already know I brought up this kid earlier. That's Darius Robinson, the edge for Missouri. From a height, weight standpoint, he's about 6'3", 6'4". He's a little lean, but he's a guy that I think can get after it. And if you looked at Missouri's defense this year, their defense carried them to the record they had. So those are the three guys I would think of because I think interior O-linemen,
you can get some guys later on that and cover that. And you can always, even if you draft like a tackle whose arms aren't long enough, you can always move that tackle to guard and save face that way.
Well, let me get to a comment real quick. The big dog over on Instagram say, I think he overrated anyway, talking about Chase Young. And this is the last year for the 49ers. Salary cap hell in 2025 for them.
Well, if that cap keeps going up $20 million, I mean, that hell isn't really hell. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we had a huge jump this year in the cap amount. And I don't know if we talked about it. We didn't spend a whole lot of time dedicated to that. So I can see where they just move business along. I mean, think about it. The Saints have been in salary cap purgatory for the last 10 years. They always find a way to stay under the cap. Like, the cap almost sounds like an imaginary thing that we kind of talk about. It exists, but it doesn't really happen. It's like rainbows. Like, if you catch the street at the right time, you see a rainbow, but you never can get to the rainbow. Think about it. You've never driven and gotten to the origin of a rainbow.
I have.
Oh, my God. Rainbow.
Jesus Christ.
I have. It was down in Brandywine at the Target. Me and my wife did it. We found a double rainbow.
What are we doing here?
Moving right along.
You just trying to get 3 points because we had a bad joke talking about me and my wife found the end of a rainbow. You found love on the end of a rainbow. I got you. All right. You found that rainbow when you found her. I got you.
Baltimore Ravens.
You found love on a two-way street. And left it on a lonely highway.
We got two teams left, fellas. And I got a little treat for y'all for the Ravens. I found what I was looking for. So let me get to the Ravens real quick. Their needs per CBS Sports, defensive tackle, offensive guard, wide receiver, cornerback, and running back. They have $13 million right now on the cap. They finished 6th in offense and 6th in defense. But I got something for you. Notable free agents. Odell Beckham Jr. Let's see. Patrick Queen. And they have several wide receivers. Laquan Treadwell, Devin Duvernay, that are up for free agency. Gus Edwards, their running back. Tyler Huntley's even up for free agency. This is unrestricted also. And Jadeveon Clowney also. So those are some names to, because I said, and I couldn't find what I was looking for, but I knew they had some free agency treats that were coming up, and they're going to have to figure out a way to get under the cap. And you know, I assume at least Patrick Queen they would want back on their team. So, put the Ravens GM cap on. Man, I guess, you know, I know they got Zay Flowers, and you know, he looked pretty good. I think I'm gonna go offensive again. If I don't know, it depends. If you can't sign Patrick Queen back, then you know some names that'll be thrown around at the end, and these are names that are kind of going around at those last 4 or 5 picks. Is Keon Coleman, and then somebody has Graham Barton, and he is from Duke. I had him up. Hold on a second. Say it Duke. Again. Duke.
The tackle from Duke.
Thank you. So they, okay. Yeah, it's had, so those are some names that are floating around for the Ravens pick. 13 million Patrick Queen. I need Patrick Queen back. So they got to figure out, I know, look, you know, we just talked about it. The cap is, if you got the right people, Brandon Bean does it in Buffalo every year and the Saints do it. They find a way to get under the cap, make some magic happen. I don't think they'll let Patrick Queen walk. I would be surprised. So if they sign Patrick Queen, I'm going wide receiver. So if Keon Coleman is there, I'm going Keon Coleman. I'm letting Odell walk. Letting Odell walk, unless you can get Odell, if you can get some money under that cap and Odell can come back at a decent price. But I don't know. I mean, because I'm looking, I'm thinking, it's like the reason they lost that playoff game, it wasn't because they didn't have another receiver. They just didn't execute. So I'm going offensive, whether it's the receiver or addressing the offensive line need. Real quick, head coach John Harbaugh, offensive coordinator Todd Monken, and I forgot, I didn't write the defensive coordinator. I know who it is, but big guy, throw it to you.
Here's the thing. Morgan Moses, the warrior, is getting old. Dirt. You got to replace him. You got to replace pieces on that offensive line because you got to keep Lamar upright. He's not going to be able to run the way he's running now for the rest of his career. You got to keep him upright. I say right here is where you go O-line. Matt says Zay Flowers will be their number one. I think they add to the group in free agency. I think secondary is where they look. Need more to get over the KC hump.
Everybody in the AFC does.
And here's the thing. You got – if when you talk receivers, you have a possible Gabe Davis coming up. You have MVS out there now. You have possibly Brandon Ayuk out there. You have options that you can pursue. So I think receiver and with this number, what's this, 30 pick? I think receiver may not be where you go. So I say go O-line here. Strengthen your O-line. I mean, all we're talking about is first round, but somewhere in the draft, get you a three-down back. Because that's what they need. They need a back that's going to run, that's able to run the ball, whether it's first, second, or third down. And if it's fourth and short, he can run it too. That's what they need.
You know the dangerous thing about I know Midnight Rider, you're sitting there simmering. You know the dangerous thing about having someone like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen? You can piece together an offensive line because you know they can get themselves out of trouble. So it's like when you're calculating and you're doing, what do I need? I can put offensive line behind something. And you shouldn't, because you want to keep your quarterback upright. You want him in the pocket. But I know he can create with his legs. So I'm not pressed in the first round to go get an offensive lineman. I can address a need, because we know if you got the right weapons, you can hide bad offensive linemen. If you got the right scheme and the right weapons, you can hide them. So that's why I said I would go wide receiver there and address the offensive line in free agency. Piece this, piece that. But turn it over. I need you to turn your cap back around. Turn it over to you. Turn the cap back around. The one and only Midnight Rider. Let's talk some names.
Yo, this is a great spot. Like, for me personally, because their safety Stone is a free agent, a name that jumps out right away to me is the kid from Miami, Cameron Kitchens, to play safety. Because this team is so multi in their personnel groupings, I don't know if it's going to stay the same because McDonald's gone, but if it does, this is a good person in this spot. Another place you can go, I don't know if he's going to drop this far, but if you know the song, sing along. I make Kool-Aid for my family. I make Kool-Aid for my friends. I make picture after picture. So Kool-Aid McKinstry could be a guy that lands in this spot based on how we, because the cornerback run is going to happen in this section of the draft. I think the cornerbacks are going late. Another kid is the kid from, I don't know if he's from Missouri or his name is Enos Rekestraw. He falls in line with the, let me pull his name up. I just saw it. Yeah, he's Missouri. He's another kid, dynamic. He's a tall corner, so he fits their needs where they like to have corners that have, they can be multiple. So he could fit right along with Marlon Humphrey. If I use Marlon Humphrey as their premise or their guide for a corner, this kid, Rickenshaw, could be another person that fits in that mold. In terms of wide receiver, my guy from yesterday, another Texas wide receiver who got passes from a guy named Quinn Ewers. You'll hear that name plenty this offseason. But Adonai Mitchell transferred from Georgia to Texas, had a great year, ran a great 40. He's another guy that could fit into this offense, and they can just keep going on and on and on with that. What did I miss? Wide receiver, cornerback, edge is Baltimore. So they're going to probably look for a tall edge. So the kid Robinson that we talked about earlier with San Fran is another person that could fit for them. What am I missing? Their needs. O-Tack. I don't – Baltimore, running I think – All right, BJ, don't do this. Don't do this. You know,
it got to be a running back first.
This isn't a running back. This isn't the first round running back draft. So you can get your Troy Benson's, your the kid Brooks from Texas. You can get all those guys in the second round. The second round is going to be laden. It's going to be a running back heavy second round. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if 6 to 7 running backs get taken in the second round, but none of them are first round running backs. There's no Bijan Robinson. There's no Jahmyr Gibbs in this class.
I tried. I y'all know how I feel about running back. I tried though. I tried for all the running.
No, I know, but you know, we both fall off of the Shanahan tree. So,
I wouldn't draft a running back in the second round. And I'm not. That's just me. I'm just like I'm looking. Look, me. I'm personally. I'm walking down the street. I'm walking out MLK. I'm like, hey, do you want to play running back? I need a couple guys.
What the heck?
And I'm like, okay, I bet. Where are we playing at? I'm like, I got you a plane ticket to San Francisco. Now, this ain't no pickup game, shorty. I need you to put the pads on. You look like you're a healthy weight. Run up and down the street for me real quick. That's my running back. You're on mute, KG.
What are we doing here, KG?
This is per ESPN. This is why, hey.
No, we're talking about you being on mute. We're not complaining about the comment. We're talking about you being on mute.
That was the rainbow he was talking about.
Just to let you know, we had, what are we at? We at $3.75 right now. I said we're going to make it to $4 before the end of the day.
So, not getting it.
And Matt says a lot of top tier NBA talent could make Baltimore land one.
I mean, the rumor, of course, is Derrick Henry to Baltimore. That could work. I don't think they're a Tony Pollard type of team. Who else is a running back? Saquon. That could be very dynamic. You know, you front load that deal. Where you can get out of it in year 3 or year 4, Saquon could be a very dynamic running back for the Ravens. So, again, I don't believe in signing running backs to second contracts, but, you know, that's a place where he can land.
Okay.
Last but not least.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. I forgot a name for the Baltimore Ravens. You know the name. It's he's out of Clemson. His name is Jeremiah Trotter. So if they don't go down the Patrick Queen re-sign mode, they could go get Jeremiah Trotter out of Clemson, who's a perfect. As we get closer to the draft process, you might hear me say, this is a Baltimore type of guy, but he is a Baltimore type of guy. So his name may come up and fit there for them as well. I saw BJ write something down, but big guy, write down Jeremiah Trotter for me in this spot because he could be an option here. Because I think that the valuation of or the value of running backs and linebackers is going to take a big effect on this draft. And the second round is where the linebackers and running backs may go. But I think if there's one that can go in the first, it's Trotter.
Gotcha. Last but not least for the day, Detroit Lions, you are now on the clock.
Ba-na-ba, ba-na-na.
Let me give you some tidbits with the Detroit Lions. They have $58 million of cap space. Okay. Number two in offense, 19th in defense. Of course, head coach is Dan Campbell. The offensive coordinator was the once hot Ben Johnson, and then Aaron Glenn is the defensive coordinator. Needs per CBS Sports, cornerback, offensive guard, edge, wide receiver, and defensive tackle. Some names that come up at their pick at 29th is Chop Robinson and Kool-Aid McKinstry. Now, I'm going to put my Lions hat on for a second. I think for me, I'm going to leave the offensive alone. I think this is one where I'm 100% committed to going defensively. So for me, I'm going cornerback to address the needs to try to help that pass defense. I'm going cornerback. I think I'm okay with the front four of Detroit. We're led by Aiden Hutchinson. I'm good with that. I think you need to go get a cornerback that fits their scheme, that can help them get out of the bottom half of the defensive rankings. You can't, you know what I'm saying? You can have the best edge in the world. If you can't cover anybody, it's just like mayonnaise on your sandwich. If you don't have the mayonnaise, the sandwich is going to be dry. You need both of them. Give me a cornerback. If Kool-Aid McKinstry is there, I'm taking Kool-Aid. If he's there at 29, Kool-Aid.
You can't just say Kool-Aid. You gotta Kool-Aid. Sing a song, man. You can't say
Kool-Aid. Oh. See, this is where we need to have the prop and we can hit the button and the song come up.
If we had one of those machines, yeah, you could boom.
I'm gonna work on that. Nah, but if you give me 1 second, I'll stick with that because I can't pull up what else I had. But, yeah, I'm taking cornerback for the Detroit Lions at the 29th pick.
All right. Go ahead, KG.
I agree with what Matt said. Matt said defense, defense, defense. Doesn't matter. They can go anywhere on D, and it's good.
Whoa. Pause.
Whoa.
Hard stop. Agree, defense has to be the main priority. That has to be the main focus.
So you make sure the D is in the mix, huh?
You got to put the D up front.
Oh, okay.
That's a hard stop with ceramic pads and the brakes are on fire when you stop.
But all jokes
aside, you got to jump out of the car and roll around.
All jokes aside, they need a lockdown corner. They need somebody that can shut down half the field. And if they get that, this team is going to reach new heights. Even though I think they overachieved this season pass. I think they overachieved, and that's great. Because, you know, you wanted them to overachieve. But I think they're going to overachieve again next year.
You can't overachieve and then overachieve, bruh.
Well, if nobody expects you to be more than an 8-win team and you win, what, 13 games? I think that's overachievement. I think they overachieve again next year. I think they'll come back as a better team.
I'll reserve my comments for later.
Okay.
I don't agree with you when you said they overachieve, because we had to go back, but I thought I picked the Lions. Like, we keep picking Cleveland to come out. Like, I thought the Lions, it was their time. They've been playing good ball. You can see the progression. I don't think they overachieved. I think that this is a great example. Yeah, this is a great example of what building a team looks like. They have 58. They made an NFC championship, and they have $58 million. If they want to, they could just throw money at things. But they're not going to do that because that's not what they've done. They've built it from scratch, and it's going to continue that way. And – like they can address a couple of needs. Per free agency. I mean, we talked about what's available as far as wide receiver free agency. It's a couple of names out there that have some really big red flags, and Jadeveon Clowney and Chase Young. So, you know, it's some options out there. So, you know, and then we always, you know, the unknown, the wild card where somebody might ask for a trade, or all of a sudden somebody might want a contract redone, and bam, there go your player right there. So, you know, it's still some cards to be dealt, but I don't agree with the overachieving. Green Bay, maybe I would say overachieved a little bit.
Okay,
you know, even though Midnight Rider called Love, but you know, I would give them overachieve. You know, winning a game in the playoffs, beating the Cowboys like they did. Houston overachieve. I don't think. You know, Midnight Rider probably called that too, but I didn't have Houston doing, you know, big things what they did. So anything now, once you get to that point, that's the standard. The standard for Detroit now is NFC Championship. It is what it is. We're not going for 9-10 seed or 9-8, whatever it is. NFC Championship or better. You've already proven to us you could get there, and you almost got to the Super Bowl. So sorry about that.
Oh, let me get to this real quick, because the big dog over on Instagram, he says, "So my source just told me Brandon Ayuk to the Lions is greatly possible. Kirk Cousins back to Washington is real. Joe Harris, love him."
I'm telling y'all that Kirk Cousins thing.
It's starting to be that thing, but the money don't sound right.
Nah, the money.
Here we go.
Listen to me.
Wait, no. Before you go, boss. KG, what's the money for? What's your contract you offering?
It's not what I'm offering. It's the money that people are throwing out there. They're talking about, well, we can get Kirk back for less money, and we can only pay him $22 million, and we can get him for this. I'm like, no, you're not. Please, let the pipe dream go. I mean, these are the same people that want to sign Tyron Smith to a one-year deal, and this dude can't stay healthy. Man, stop it with the bullshit, please. Be realistic. Live in now times. This is not Madden. This is not Game Day 98. You can't turn the salary cap on and off to sign who you want. You can't give a $300 million contract to a rookie because you feel like it.
The Kirk Cousins thing is real. With Kirk Cousins, I know we're not on those teams yet, but if I'm Pittsburgh, I give Kirk Cousins what he wants, because that instantly turns that team into a contender. They have the receivers, they have the defense, they have the running back. But we'll get to Pittsburgh when we get. I'm just saying that Kirk Cousins thing is real, and people sleeping on Kirk Cousins. I'm telling you,
Kirk ain't taking no less than $30 million a year.
He shouldn't. Time out.
Here you go again. This is why I wanted you to go ahead and say the dollar amount. How is Kirk Cousins taking 30, but somebody paying Daniel Jones 40?
I said less than 30.
No less? He can't take no less. All right. I'm gonna calm down a little bit, because he overcooked my grits. He overcooked my grits.
Oh, God.
So I can say this in formulated sentences. You can't offer Kirk 30 and be like, oh, he's going to take slightly. I mean, if he takes slightly over 30, you need to send Kirk to heaven now to sit beside Jesus and St. Peter, because he ain't doing a hometown discount. He giving you a sweetheart deal. He takes 30. Daniel Jones is making 40. They're talking about if somebody signs Justin Fields to a long-term deal, they have to give him 40. And I know Kirk said it wasn't about the money, but at some point, Kirk got to be like, dog, what are we doing here?
And we had just
hit 40. Offer me 30 and expect me to play for 30 when Justin Fields is getting 40, and he ain't had the seasons I had.
And you're not close.
He was 40, and he ain't had the seasons I had.
Nowhere near close. I believe.
I think it's amazing to me
and I'm going to say this, and it's not a shot at KG, but it amazes me how the Washington fan base has always, like, had this unrealistic dollar amount when it came to Kirk Cousins. Like, they never saw the forest. They kept looking at the tree. I remember when they signed Robert to his fifth-year option, which was $16 million. But everybody's saying, oh, we can sign Kirk long-term for $12 million. You can't, because the number's 16. I can't take less than the guy. If I'm starting, I can't take less than the guy that's backing me up. Like, I just don't think sometimes people – I think you have your thoughts about him, and your thoughts about him and his ceiling create this cap for you when it comes to money involving Kirk Cousins.
I'm going to say this, and then we're going to let the Midnight Rider give us some names for the Lions. As everybody praised Justin Jefferson, where do you think he catching his passes from?
Exactly.
All right. The guy has been probably – this is just freeballing it. Top five passing stats all his seasons, I think.
At worst, 10. At worst, top 10.
At worst, he's been top five. And like the Midnight Rider said, Daniel Jones – the only thing he can say is he has great games against the Commanders, and he's making $40 million. So if we just going off stats alone, I mean, Kirk Cousins is in the $60 million mark, like something ridiculous, like or double. Like, I mean, like if you're making 40 and you're not doing anything, what does that make me if I'm a top five passer? If I can instantly come on your team and make you a contender. And exactly. Win games that if you had won last year, if you had Kirk Cousins on your team last year, that team makes the playoffs. $30 million was the number when y'all lost him the first time that y'all ain't want to pay him, I believe. I believe that was the number. But let's move on. Midnight Rider, when you're ready, you can give us – put that jam cap on. Talk to some names on the lines. The needs, of course, cornerback, glaring – offensive guard, edge, wide receiver, and defensive tackle, sitting on $58 million.
Go ahead, KG.
Get a kicker like Matt said, so he isn't afraid to kick a field goal when the situation says kick it. I love it, Matt. I love it. And then the big dog said Mike Tomlin wants Justin Fields per his source.
Justin right. Fields, another name, yeah.
I'll make the standard since – KG keeps dancing around that, but doesn't want to say it. But that's what KG believes, and that's what Mike Tomlin believes. Make the standard the standard. No, you keep – you dance – dog, calm down. You get to that step, but you don't say make the standard. Like, you'll get close to saying it, and I'm just like, why won't we just say make the standard? It's not a knock, brother, because you dance – you right there. You're starting to speak the language. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have everybody on the show – speaking Quinese by the time we finish with this. But Detroit, I think y'all said the name. I mean, I think it's if he's not, and this is why, like, it's hard sometimes when you're going up the draft board and not down because you don't have the process elimination. But I think Kool-Aid McKinstry is definitely a name here in this spot. I think a kid like Jared Verse, the defensive end from Florida State, is a perfect fit in this defense. You can put him on the other side of Aiden Hutchinson, and you could probably have the two best DNs in the next 3 years as a combination. As long as you sign Hutchinson when it's his time to sign, I think this is going to be a very good spot for him. I can see wide receiver. You're probably talking, let's see, in the Detroit offense, you're probably talking a guy like Troy Franklin, Adonai Mitchell, guys that we talked about with the other picks. I think this is too high or too early for a guy like Ladd McConkey. I think McConkey's going to be a late first, very late first, early second. What other need they mentioned? D-line. This is a place where a kid like, if we go D-tackle, there's a kid from Texas, the other D-tackle. Dang, I just lost my spot on my draft board. But I think his name is Mitchell. I'll research that and I'll come back later on with that. But no, it's Murphy. is Byron Murphy. That's the kid's name. D tackle. He's a little bit lighter than he's a lot lighter than Sweat, their other big D tackle. But he's another guy. He's got more of a pass rush setup. And I think he can help Detroit as well. If Detroit needs a guard or anything like that, that's something later. I can see Detroit in the mix for another running back. That's definitely later. That's third or fourth round. Just to kind of pad yourself if Montgomery and company get hurt. So, yeah, those are the options I see for Detroit. I don't have another cornerback option for them because I just don't know how this is going to fall out.
Could it be a free agency thing? If they can't, if they get one corner in the first round, hit the free agency market, get you a second corner.
Well, they got a corner. I think the problem is you got to get the other side of the defense. You'll have year two of the kid Branch from Alabama, who's going to be dynamic. You got the Syracuse kid. I can't say his last name, but he's like 6'3", 6'4". I think they use him in a hybrid role, like a safety linebacker. I think it's Ifeoluwa or something like that. They have options. The question is going to be more so finding the corner that fits. And see, being at 29, they're in the territory where a guy like a Terrion Arnold from Alabama and a Quinyon Mitchell won't be there. They're going to be too late for those upper level corners. So they're going to get the guy that's fourth or fifth on the cornerback depth chart. They might even get the kid from Iowa. They may get the 2024 Jason Sehorn, Cooper DeJean might be a guy that goes in this spot.
Boss BJ?
Nah, I don't have anything to add. That's the last four. We're going to come up next week with the next four, and we're going to do the same thing. Needs, names, Sunday Rise, all the way up into the draft. And I know the Midnight Rider keeps saying it's a, you know, we doing it backwards. Kind of, it kind of throws a different little wrinkle in it because you're assuming these people are going to be here. Trades, you know, that, you know, whatever's been done in the first half of the draft is done. So it's just a unique way to do it. And then we'll work our way all the way up and we get to talk about the Buffalo Bills next time. So be ready for that. Be ready for that.
Well, gentlemen, quite quickly, I think we can go around quite quickly. Sunday tradition, what you eating?
Gosh, what am I doing today? I gotta fix stuff for work this week as well. The kid wants pork chops, so I gotta figure out. I don't feel like doing the full-fledged fried pork chops, so I might just do a little olive oil in the bottom of the pan and cook them that way. We might. There's an outside shot at some potatoes, depending on what I play. If I play the right music while I'm cooking, we might get potatoes as well. And then I'm going to do a little a hood stir fry with some chicken pieces and peppers.
It's between two things because I'm working today. It's either a chicken quesadilla from Cordoba or the taco spot I told you about. You guys about in Rockville. Three carne asada tacos. So just, I guess it's how I'm feeling, you know, feeling a little, you know, because I have to make the decision. If I don't get the Cordoba, I can't get it. I have to get the tacos. It's just where it's going to be. So I'll be thinking of that on the way to work.
Matt say to be determined here. Well, we having two different meals. My wife is having a baked chicken. She's going to do baked chicken for herself, for the rest of the family. My oldest daughter is supposed to make meatloaf with her famous custom sauce, mashed potatoes, string beans, and my wife is going to make honey butter cornbread. So, eating good in the neighborhood. There will be no leftovers because there never is. So,
yeah, you got a house full of savages, though. I mean, Xavier.
Oh, they Xavier's not allowed to eat.
Oh, okay.
He's not allowed to eat. Not when it comes to meatloaf. I don't like sharing that with anybody. Only thing my daughter doesn't do with the meatloaf, she doesn't put bacon on top of the meatloaf like my grandmother did. She said, I don't understand why. Just do it. And once you do it the first time, you'll understand why.
I kind of agree with her, man. But that's bacon, I'm a Philistine, so don't worry about it. Pay me no attention.
As long as you said it, because I was going to.
Exactly.
Fellas, we went through 32 through 29, and we got we're gonna do this on Sundays, or we're gonna rock this on Tuesdays as well.
I think if we do it on Sundays, we have enough time to the draft, even if we gotta add a team or two. I'm gonna have more things together next time, so it'll be a little bit cleaner and we can get through these teams. Since I have my sights now. I thought getting up early enough would have me enough time, but it did not. So I got to be better prepared. I'll take this one.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning.
I'm sorry. I'm back on. No, you good. Because to wrap this shit up, B. So I thought I'd get a chance to at least say something. You're trying to give me the Charles Barkley treatment. Like I'm Shaq or something. What we doing here?
425.
But seriously, watching the combine all weekend, a couple people that I thought stood out for me, and I'm no GM, I have no chops in this game in terms of being a talent evaluator, but on the Ben Conte big board, a guy like Spencer Rattler jumped out to me this weekend when him throwing during the combine. For the main simple reason is he has a decent enough arm. I think he's a kid that's been kind of what's the island of the kids on the Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer special?
The island of misfit toys.
I think he's a misfit toy. And I think if you get the right OC to take him in, I think you're going to get better results from a kid like him than some of those middle guys in this draft. I think he's probably like the seventh best quarterback in terms of draft ability, but he might move up with his actual ability as we go along. Wide receivers that jumped out was Xavier Worthy, the kid Adonai Mitchell, who was more explosive than I thought he was. Running backs, Troy Benson running that great 40, helped his time. I would love to see Jonathan Brooks on his pro day from Texas. Defensive ends, the kid Leota from UCLA ran a 4.6. I don't know how that translates, but that's a big move. Verse from Florida State. Of course, we saw Chop Robinson run like a 4.4. So, I mean, these guys are athleting or being great athletes. The D tackle phrase from Florida State makes moves this week. So we're in the draft process. Let's enjoy the process and let's embrace the process. That's all.
All right. Thank you all for indulging us and joining us this morning. We'll leave you with the normal line, but hey, we did overtime this morning. Wasn't my fault though.
It's BJ's fault.
So yeah, so he got to find himself. For the Midnight Ride of the Boss BJ, I'm the big guy KG. We did that overtime. Now we are out of here.
Good night, all. Yo. Yo,
yo, oh. Yo. We still here. No, we still here.
Why are we still live? Why are we still live, dog?
Because it's extra, and the stream won't end. But you know, this is what happens. This is what we deal with.